Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's episode of Books, Brains, and Bullshit. Let's try the applause button. Okay.
It recycled.
So, you know, I was trying to only just do it one time, but it did it too. But anywho, but welcome to my listeners. This is Books, Brains, and Bullshit with Tamara and my lovely, wonderful co-host, Jess. Hey, girl.
Hello. Hey, girl.
How was your day today?
It's the first of the month, so grab your check and come on. That's how my first week went. The first of the month, and everybody got an excuse why they can't pay their rent.
Girl, oh my God, stop it.
Back in the lab, I'm just like, I'm just going to submit your name to court, and I'll see you there.
You know what? I can't. So needless to say, you had a very interesting day.
Yes, boo. How was your day?
It was a good day. Good day. I got some work done. Your girl working on a few projects and stuff. So I got some new stuff getting ready to come out soon.
I always get a new project.
Yes, yes. I got to give a big, lovely, wonderful, true glory, Sippy Bear, Care Bear Stare shout out to my pen sister, Nicole. Love your life, boo. And even though it's premature, yes, I love her. She's just talented, and she's just crazy and funny and everything like me. Like, girl, you should see our inboxes. It's crazy. But love you, girl. That's my girl. And even though it's premature, a few hours, I'm going to give a happy birthday shout out to my big head cousin, Janine.
Happy
27th birthday.
Janine.
Yes. So, you know, we're going to be turning up on Friday.
We had a mutual friend at one point in common, and I saw Janine get it litty. Get it lit, Janine. Get it lit. You took a jello shot, and I'm done.
All I know is I just hope and pray that my house is still standing after everything is all said and done. Before her guests get here, I'm going to be nigger-proofing my house because I don't want nothing broken. I got some glass stuff up in her, and, you know, I don't
Girl,
want nothing broken.
Hide all your valuables for them in a safe.
I ain't worried about hiding my valuables because, first and foremost, I know she ain't going to bring, I trust that she ain't gonna bring nobody in here I gotta worry about. But not to mention the fact I got a weapon in every room, so they can play if they want to, see if they get out of here alive. Not alive. Just kidding. I don't want nobody, you know, thinking I'm, you know, implicating myself in any kind of crime. So, but anywho, so today,
What's our book for today?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Our book for today, we are going to talk about. Let's talk about Daddy's Princess, His Rider. Part two just released not too long ago and is now on paperback. Oh, no. It's on audio book. That's right.
The audio, I have a question. Can I listen to it on my phone for those of us who are not driving?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Before you get in the two, just shout out. Shout us out with one. I haven't heard. Of course, you've written so many books. So let's break. What's one about? Who's the characters? Give me the sauce.
So this one is the main character in the book. Her name is Journey. Her name is Journey. I don't know why I love that name when I was writing this book. Like that was like okay. So her name is Journey. And, you know, she had just graduated from college and she returned back home. And, you know, pretty much when she left, she was like the whole ugly duckling, came back home. She was the swan, you know. Her dad was the state's, you know, largest drug dealer. He was like the head of a, you know, very profitable, you know, criminal organization. Right. And she was his only child. So she had a best friend. I can't remember this heifer's name right now. But anyway, her best friend pretty much was a rider. She didn't have any family. So, you know, her family pretty much took her in. So she always had a thing for one of her dad's workers, which actually was her right hand, the dad's right hand when he came home. His name is Kai. And so she always had a thing for him. Yeah, and basically, you know, he liked her back in the day. She liked him, but she was shy. She was a little chubby, and basically he was, you know, just not trying to mess with the boss's daughter or whatever. So anyway, kind of to summarize the story, they do end up hooking up, and, you know, it was like a nice one-of-a-kind, just loved, and, you know, they pretty much had said, you know, both of them were stupid back in the day, and they could have been together, yada, yada, yada. So... basically, you know, of course, there's a snake in the camp, as a lot of times there always is. So, you know, there was a snake in the camp, and, you know, different things happen, you know, within, you know, the whole family and stuff like that. Journey ends up getting shot right along with her dad. And, you know, just like, I don't want to give too much about the book, but basically... You know, her and Kai, they become parents, and, you know, of course, that's his queen, his rib, so he proposes to her. And even though the dad loves Kai like a son, he forbids her to marry Kai. So basically she has to make a choice. Yeah, so she has to make a choice to either, you know, do what her father says and walk away from him, you know, her baby daddy and her one true love, or, you know, rock with her dad and, you know, be unhappy or whatever. So that's like, you know, I think, like I said, I left it very vague because I don't want to give away too many details of the book if you haven't read it.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Why should your readers read this book? Why would you recommend that they read it? Besides the fact that you're flipping awesome and you write great books. Why else?
Thank you. Hey. But it's, I mean, because it's to me, and not because of, just because I wrote it, to me, it's a realistic read. It has a, you know, it's a good story. It's just, you know, with some love mixed with some street drama, mixed with some, you know, crossing, and it's just basically the whole book keeps you occupied with something. Like there's something always going on in the book. So, you know, you'll be able to. You know, like I like to write to where everybody, you know, feels the story. You know, if I don't feel it when I'm writing it, then I don't expect my readers to feel it. So, you know, yeah, I think it's a story that, you know, some people can relate to, you know, might have been through something similar or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I love a good hood love story. That's why I like to write those things. Because I like
what's the book called again?
It's called Daddy's Princess, His Rider.
It's
available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble.
Tamira.
And like I said, it's available on audiobook now, which is actually, I was looking at the numbers earlier because I'm always, I stalk Amazon. They probably are like, how many times is this heifer going to come on here? Because I'm always checking my numbers and my publisher's always telling me you can't pay so much attention to the numbers. Shout out to Shamik Faith. Yeah. Love you. Thank you, boss man, for everything. But yeah, but the audiobook is doing really good. It's doing good. So, you know, like I said, well, hopefully, I was hoping to do it tonight, but I may not get to do it tonight. So next week, we'll be giving away a couple of free audiobooks for Daddy's Princess, His Ride, too. So, and, you know, a couple of the callers.
How could they log in and get a chance to win that? Are you going to post that on your Facebook? I'm dying. I want them.
I will put it on Facebook, yes. And you know how I'm going to give it away, and you know, and all you got to do is call into the Shizzo, and I am going to require as one of the requirements for you to get the audiobook, even because you should more than likely read one first before you read two, because you're going to like part two picks up immediately at the end of part one. So, but. Okay. The only requirement that I have is that you mention at least one of my books that you have read, and that will give you a free audiobook. So we'll do that next week. So for any of my listeners who have not read, if you have not read a book by Tamara Griffin, you have until next week to treat yourself.
And not cheat yourself.
Absolutely. Yes, and then after you do that, you can treat your ears. You'll be able to treat your ears with your free audiobook that you're going to win from calling in to the show. But don't be trying to read just the synopsis on the back of the book, because I know. But, hey, even if you read the synopsis, I appreciate it, but I would just much rather you open the book and read it. So,
okay, I have a question on the same thing, on the same book. How many of us, I'm going to tell you why I do it, how many of us read the last page before we read the first page? Do you do that? And as an author, and what do you think about that?
It's kind of like, I guess with me, it's the way I read the way that I write. So basically, if I start a new book, I'm not going to go all the way to the end. I'll start reading the book at the beginning. But once I get into a certain point of the book, especially if the book is good and it's like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see what happens, I'll skip to the end. I'll go to, like, the last couple of pages and do that. So, and that's just, like, how when I write. Okay, I, of course, when you first start writing the book, and this is me, I don't know if it's everybody. When you first start writing the book, you know, the beginning of the story, it comes to you, it's like, bam, 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 bam. But then... when you get into the middle of the story, because you don't want the story to lag, because you don't want it to get boring, you want to always keep your reader's attention. I kind of, when I'm doing my outline, I'll jump to how I want the story to end, and then I can fill in the middle. You know, so that way, any ideas that come to me in the process of writing, it's going to have to jive with how I want that story to end.
Well, your whole writing process was like that, with the point of it all that you wrote the beginning and the end and filled in the middle. It was everything. As a reader, not an author yet, but reader.
But you know what, though? With the point of it all, it was different. And it was crazy. And of course, you know, I'm going to be my biggest fan because it's me writing the book. But it's crazy because with the point of it all, originally, when D kicked the bucket, he just kicked the bucket. That was it. But I said to myself, I love this man. I can't let him go. I cannot let this book carry on without D being somewhere in there. Like, he was just like, you know, like, I love him. You know, like, if he was a real person, I was and he wasn't mine, I would stalk him. And I would probably have charges pressed on me.
He seems like you're tired. I'm going to leave it there.
Yes. But, yeah, like, once I killed them, I was like, you know what? I said, I can't do this. Like, and I knew, girl, and when I tell you, it was so many people, like, close friends and family members, I dare a stranger did not dare, because then there would be something wrong. But it was so many people, personal friends and family and stuff, that when they got to the point where I killed him, I was getting all kinds of threatening text messages and phone calls and inboxes.
I was feeling some kind of way, too. I was definitely feeling some kind of way. I think me personally, as a consumer and not so much an author, when I look at the book, and of course you're going to read the back of the book first, and I lied. I read the first page. I have to. I read the last page. Here's the rationale for the last page. So I read the last page because I feel like if I die today, at least I do. What was on the last page? It doesn't mean the last chapter. It means the very last page in the book. I think that, like, when you read the last page, it's like, what are they talking about? And I actually did that at the point of it all. But wait, T, guess what? I got some news for you. Guess what?
What?
Brown is on the line.
Oh, yes, I see. We do have a caller. So before we get into our topic for the evening, although
yes,
we have already discussed some books, let's go to the switch lines and see what Brown got to say this here week. Hello, Brown. Welcome to Book Brains and Bullshit. How are you?
Hey, Queens. How are y'all today? How's everybody? Blessed, I hope.
Just peachy. How about yourself, sir?
I'm wonderful. Every day above ground is a beautiful day.
It is.
Absolutely, positively. Yeah.
Yep.
So we've been engaging in a little bit of book talk right now, and you know, I just wanted to recognize you that you was on the line.
Okay. Pardon me if you hear a little noise. I am on these mean streets of Baltimore, you know, doing what I do.
You know what? I drive a bus for the University of Maryland.
I drive buses for the University of Maryland. And this summer, I'm working up here in Baltimore, so I'm not just hanging out on the corner slanging and banging. I'm driving the bus, so that's what you're hearing. The noise are the buses. It ain't. It's not me walking the street.
Yeah. So you driving through the mean streets of Baltimore.
Absolutely, Queen. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, Jazz and I are going to. I'm gonna put you. You know, let you listen. We're gonna get started on some. We're gonna kickstart our topic, and then I'll check back with you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Don't you go nowhere.
Real quick, can I get a comment before I go?
Sure.
I really suggest, I don't know, I mean, I have some people that I could talk to about this particular subject because she has some liaison into the University of Maryland where I work. And I say her, I'm talking about Oprah. I don't know if you've ever been to a Tyler Perry play or seen it or understand his playwright and everything. But I believe from what I've heard of your books and I haven't really read a whole book cover to cover, but I mean you should definitely be part of that think tank, and I could definitely see them moving you to the next level because you're definitely worthy of the next level of
experience. Well, I appreciate it, Brown. I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, hold, let me hit my button. I appreciate that. And actually, I am in the process of writing the screenplay for The Point of It All. So,
awesome. Yes, I can't wait.
Well, I'm going to do that on my end for you anyway. I'll keep you abreast of how everything go. But when I see this person, I'm
going to
pass. Yeah, obviously I'm not dealing with her directly. But like I said, the liaison to her camp, I'm going to definitely slide your information on to them, and we'll go from there. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Appreciate that. Well, we will
keep
be back
the
with
good
you.
Work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check back with you in a little bit. We're going to kickstart. Wish we could go back Wednesday because I'm quite sure once we get started, you're going to have lots of stuff to say.
All right.
All righty now. We'll talk to you in a minute. Girl, did you hear me call it ORPA? Because I just found out, and you know what, and they say that watching TV isn't educational because I be learning some stuff. I was actually watching Hip Hop Squared.
Oh,
and
that
I did
is
not,
such a good show. It's hilarious.
Yes, they be having me cracking up. And I did not know that Oprah's real name was ORPA. She just switched the letters around. Yeah, when they was like, what's Oprah's real name? I'm like, Oprah, what you talking about? It's Oprah. We know Oprah, and her real name is Orpah.
What's Eva? Shut up. What's Eva's real name? Like, I mean, what's Eva? What's the light skinned girl with the green eyes? What's her name? Eva what?
Mhm.
Do you know what I'm talking? Oh, I need the last name because what I'm saying is not going to make sense about her last name. But she started off her last name with Pickford, Eva Pickford, and then she just changed her whole last name.
Yeah. So it off. And so, okay, so for those who just might be listening in, we are now, after we have discussed, you know, Daddy's Princess is Rider 2, and we discussed The Point of It All a little bit. And yes, if you did not hear it, I am working on a screenplay for The Point of It All. So
yes.
Keep your eyes out for that. I'll keep everybody posted. But so we are going into Wish We Could Go Back Wednesday.
Woo!
Now, of course, during this segment, we will be, of course, we're going to take a trip down memory lane. For those who don't know and haven't listened before, me and Jasmine known each other for years. So, of course, we're going to take a trip down memory lane, and then we're going to talk about the differences between yesteryears and now. And because I tell you, there is a big damn difference. I mean, there
it's
are some good young people out here, but some of these people done smoked, sniffed, drank, or something themselves until they were retarded. I don't know what's going on. But I remember, you know, like back in the day, and I am an OG, an Adams Avenue OG in Pleasantville. And back in the day, it was just like, even if you didn't mess with certain people in your area, everybody was like a big-ass family, including the parents. If one of the parents seen you do something wrong and your parent ain't know about it, by the time you got home, your parent knew what you was doing because somebody else's parent done called and snitched on you or something like that or whatever. But, of course, you know, I'm going to kick it off with, to me, the biggest difference between back in the day and now. And you know, I love to talk about niggas. So back in the day, you know, the dude would go and they was getting it. Rather, they was hustling a little something or, you know, just. They was doing something to get money. They was doing it to get money because back in the day they knew, okay, if you ain't have no money, 9 times out of 10, none of the girls was going to want to holler at you.
Right.
So now, it, back then that was that. You know, of course, you want to be able to buy your girl a chain or some door knocker earrings or, take her to the movies. You know, buy her some Tims. You know, back in the day, we used to like to wear the L.A. gears. And, you know. Yeah, girl. And then now it's like they pretend to have money. Like we was kind of sort of talking about last week, you know, that representative. I don't know if they done borrowed somebody's friend's car or, you know, borrowed. Maybe they got a wine and dine fund, you know, so that way they can get to the 69. But nowadays, it's like a lot of men have no drive. They don't care about laying around and letting their chick take care of them and crap. And that, to me, is not what's up. You know, it even goes back into the Bible. A man's supposed to be the provider. If anybody's supposed to be sitting back, chilling, watching TV, and eating bonbons, it's supposed to be us.
But here's the crazy part, and, you know, that I'm always the male, not male voice, but male voice.
Mm-hmm.
Your women be doing it. So as long as
women
are doing it, the guys are always going to sit back. I laugh. I hear sometimes there's couples who are married or, you know, that have been together forever that, you know, I don't need a ring or we common law marriage crap. Okay, whatever. Whatever your chick is what it is. But you guys are doing this and you're trying to kind of like you're trying to build something on it, and I'm trying to find a word that is really not the same. Like in the beginning, it was a little different. Like he would like do what he was supposed to do. Like if we allow the guys to do it, they're going to take advantage anyway. If we allow guys, they're going to do it. If we allow them not to pay bills, they're going to do it. Like you were saying earlier, I remember creased jeans. Like, guys wasn't willing out without creased jeans. They always made sure, like, it was what it is. But I think that we're, as women, can be a big part of that. Because if we don't make the guy accountable for his actions, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are always going to be guys. You know what I mean? That's why God made us different, you know.
Yeah.
We just have to
recognize that. But guess
what?
Surprise, surprise. I totally agree with you on that. Because we enable them.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, because you know when you go and get on your niggas kick sometimes, I be like, But no, I absolutely agree. Some of us, you know, are, you know, yes, we enable, because it's like, okay, I love him, I'm going to hold down my man and this and this, this. It's a difference between holding down your man, you know, and just taking care of a nothing ass nigga. It's a big damn difference. Because, you know, okay, yeah, you might be going through a rough patch and, you know, I need to hold you down for a little bit while you rebuild. I ain't got no problem with that. That's what you're supposed to do.
Tamara, I'm so sorry. Say that line one more time. Say it for the people. Say it for the culture.
What? About holding your man down?
Yes. Just
there's a difference.
Like, if times get hard, you hold them down temporarily.
Exactly. You hold them down while they rebounding. They're doing what they need to do to get back on their feet. Absolutely. That's what you're supposed to do when you love somebody, when you're in a relationship, and you know that's your king. You're supposed to do that. You know, times are hard. Things happen. But if you just like chilling on the couch and I got to keep bitching at you every week, did you fill out that application yet, Mookie, or whatever? And I'ma do it. Why is you bothering me? You just cool, you comfortable with laying around, let me take care of you? That's when it's a damn problem. And like I said, we enable, you know, if we do that for somebody that takes that attitude, then yes, we're enabling them, because I know one damn thing. You know, but me personally, I like to work for mine. I don't like to borrow. Unless it's absolutely necessary, I'm doing it on my own. But, you know, it's like, damn it, I lost my train of thought. It's a damn mess. But yeah, like I have to go out and get it. I'm not comfortable just sitting around doing absolutely nothing. I have to be doing something to earn money.
I have another question for you. Okay. What do you think about if a guy gives you, you know, their portion of whatever you guys build or, but does nothing else? Would you rather?
What do you mean? You mean money? Money wise?
Yeah, if he's giving you the money to take care of you guys both, that's great. Could you just take the money and not have anything else? What would you rather have them? I mean, ultimately, whoever you're with, you want them to be your partner. You want them to be your 50-50, mm-hmm. and you want to share it. But that's not always the case, or whatever the circumstances are. Would you rather have somebody that gives you money and not time, or it's just lackadaisical, or give you, like, okay, there's no money, but they do everything else. Like, okay, you don't have to worry about the trash or your car, or could you just not deal with either and you want to kind of find a small balance in between the two? There are guys, like, you can complain about a guy not paying the bills, great. That's probably one of the best and easiest complaints that a female can have. But what about when it's different than that? Like, okay, so you pay, I pay, we both work, but why the hell am I just doing laundry? Why am I the only one sitting in the kitchen and mopping the floors? Like, what do you think about that?
If we're sharing,
you used to do that, like the OGs, like our age, you used to do that, like we helping out. Like I was never like these guys are so different.
Well, before I answer your question, as far as the OGs our age expecting that, you know what I say to that? I tell them to kiss my whole entire ass and all the dimples in it, because now see if we're living in the same household, no, you doing all of that. I want time. You gonna help with the house. You gonna pay your portion of the bills. I want all of that. That's the whole package deal. Now if we ain't living together or whatever, you can keep your damn money. I can make my own. You know, I mean, it's nice to have a dude be like, oh, okay, here goes some money for your pocket, whatever the case may be. Thank you. I appreciate it. But at the end of the day, trust and believe you me, if I want something or I need something, I'm going to work it out on my own so I can get it. And it doesn't include, you know, hitting up this person or that person or whatever to get it, you know, as far as a man goes. But, yeah, like if we living in the same house, you know, you need to pay your portion of the bills. I want your time. I want you to help out around the house because I don't live here by myself. So you need to take an active share in not just maintaining the household, but you need to, you know, make sure that you are actively sharing and, you know, making sure the relationship is where it's supposed to be. And that includes your time, you know, support, whatever, you know, all of that stuff, all of the stuff that we were talking about last week, the physical, spiritual, mm-hmm. emotional, all of that stuff. Yeah, you need to that's have all of that. And yeah,
don't
but
forget,
I mean, if
I said, don't forget the physical, go ahead.
Yeah, I hear that too. But, oh yeah, you have, especially if we're sharing the same house, you definitely have to, you have to pull your weight in all aspects. Because I'm not just doing it by myself. So, I mean, but like I said, it's a difference, you know, if you fall on hard times or whatever, a situation that is not, you know, that you're unable to control and I need to hold you down, the household or whatever, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. As long as I see that you're putting forth an effort and you're doing what you're supposed to do to get back on track and not just like sitting back and chilling like, oh, okay, well, she got it. I could just, you know, I'm good. Long as you're not doing that, I'm absolutely fine with, you know, with taking care of it. If we're in a relationship, if you're doing what you're supposed to do on all other aspects or whatever, yes, I got you. Don't you worry, King. I got this. I'm going to pull on my cape and make it do what it do. But
man, I wish you had a sound for a fist bump. That was totally on point. Okay, we got really deep. Here's something light that we can laugh about that I just have a question with.
Uh-huh.
About before guys and after guys. What is going on with the skinny jeans? Not skinny,
listen,
though.
Girl.
Skinny jeans that are high-worded with moccasins. Who said that was
true? I'm so glad you brought that up. And you know what's crazy, right? I went into Wawa earlier. And, you know, I seen he was an older gentleman. I mean, like gray hair, all of that good stuff and whatnot. But, girl, I was looking up at his face and everything because I'm leaving out the store and he's coming in. When I dropped my eyes, this old man had the tightest camouflage jeans on. It looked like they was painted on him. Anytime a man has camel toe, it is a problem. It's a problem and a half. Ain't no nigga supposed to have camel toe. What's wrong with you?
How much change did you have?
I'm sorry. Girl, I wish a nigga would approach me wearing some jeans tighter than mine. I'm not even going to acknowledge you. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me until you get bigger fucking jeans. I'm sorry.
Here is another one that fucks my life up. Now, I know that everybody be down on their luck. I am the most unfortunate woman when it comes to cars. I swear I can tell you how many I've owned and how many I have. However, can somebody please tell me what's going on with this era in this vicinity tomorrow where we live, which Lane City comes up, Seagan Hamilton area, with the ratio of spikes to cars? Like, yo, they still
you know what?
Come on, where we going now?
The bikes are their cars. Their bikes are their cars. But you know what, though? I'm like that, okay, I'm with you with it. But on the other hand, if you can't afford a car and you got to get where you got to get and you got to pedal it, you got to get on that damn Huffy and you got to thug it out.
You on the bus saving your money for it. I get it. I'm not talking about the ones that save their money and get it. I'm talking about the ones that constantly on bikes with their Well, now it's not boom boxes like it used to be. It's like iPads. You're just on your bike with your iPhone, and you're listening to nothing but music. Great. But
you know what?
I'm not talking about the struggle of you trying to get it. I'm talking about you being complacent without having it.
Yeah. Girl, and I'm glad you brought that up, too. See, that's why, you know, and I don't get me wrong, I love where I'm from, you know, the good and the bad, definitely love where I'm from. But, girl, I'm standing on Atlantic Avenue, and I'm minding my business. And 9 times out of 10, if you see me out and I'm not in the car, I have my earphones in. And the reason why I do that, because I don't want these certain types of people to be I want to be able to walk past and not feel bad about ignoring them so I can act like I ain't hear them. But, girl, I'm up here standing. Huh? What happened?
Talking, they
can still talk all they want to. Talk. I can't hear you. Sorry. my bad. But, girl, like, I'm standing there, and this dude, you know, he came rolling up or whatever. He had, like you said, iPhone, you know, pulled his damn earphone. Now he stopped in front of me or whatever. And then, like, really, like, got off the bike, put the kickstand down, and, like, set it over neatly against the wall and stuff, and, like, proceeded to try to, you know, like, pull a conversation out of thin air. Like, first and foremost, like, you really rolled up on me and leaned over on your handlebars and was like, what's up with you, girl? Nothing. Nothing. I'm going to need for you to keep on pedaling. Keep pedaling.
He
like, and, you know.
On the bike and leaned over the handlebars.
Girl, yeah, like, you know, because, like, he at first he didn't put the kickstand on the bike. He, you know, he brought the bike to a stop, and then he had both legs straddled, you know, on each side of the bike. And, you know, like, was talking to me, whatever. So I took my earbud out, and I'm, you know, I said, okay, let me be nice and sociable. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, so he's, like, trying to have a conversation and stuff like that. But, girl, yeah, he, like, leaned over on the handlebars, like, had his hand propped up under his face, and, you know, was, like, trying to have a conversation. Then that's when, you know, finally he got off and, you know, put the kickstand down and, you know, placed the bike against the wall, you know, to have a conversation with me. And, I mean, like I said, I ain't knocking nobody because right now I'm vehicularly challenged. I don't have a car right now. So, you know, I ain't going to knock him or whatnot. But I'm just saying, like, and then there's another guy around the city. Like, he got a speaker duct taped to the handlebars. And I'm like, okay, like, he really got a surround system.
His music be bumping and he be really riding like.
Okay, so you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, I'm just like, looky here. Okay, if that's what you want to do, if you like it, I love it, boo. Hey, but all I know is, you know, I'm getting another car. I can't be doing all of that extracurricular stuff. It's just, you know. But girl,
what's another difference between the guys of yesteryear and now?
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. I mean, and even with women, because I tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves, girl, it's like nails against the chalkboard. Actually, it's two things. Nails across the chalkboard and, like, somebody poking me, these two things. One, this is a PSA right here. Ladies, pajamas are made for bed.
Yes.
You don't wear them outside. You don't wear them to the beauty supply store. You don't wear them to the corner store. You don't just run over Shaquana's house to borrow some sugar and then come back in your pajamas. Your pajamas are to be worn in the bed, in your house. You don't wear them out in public. Do you not know that people realize that the cow jumping over the moon on your pants is not pants? It's pajamas. And they look like pajamas. Please stop wearing them outside. That's my public service method. The other thing that bothers me to the point where I didn't start wearing one until probably maybe 6 or 7 months ago, maybe. I can't stand when these heifers wear this satin sleep cap. Sleep is where do you sleep at? You sleep in your bed, right? Your bed's at home. That's where the satin sleep cap needs to stay when you get up out of bed and you leave the house.
Wait, Tamara,
what is
did
that?
You say the satin bonnet?
Yeah, yes. It's called a satin sleep bonnet or a satin sleep cap. You sleep in it.
Listen, I have my own sleep bonnet story. Listen, so I'm in Jamaica. I swear I couldn't make this up. So I'm in Jamaica. I'm having breakfast with the person I went to Jamaica with.
Huh.
And we see this couple. walk past the restaurant we was in because they had huge windows. Ooh, listen, did I say we were in Jamaica? She had on a bonnet, some tights, two small slides, and a half a shirt. He in Jamaica that was hotter than hell at the time had on a hoodie jacket, some gray sweatpants, and some slides with socks.
I can't.
All that could have been what they afforded to have. I'm not knocking it. Everybody knows, you know, hey, maybe that was the clothes they came in on. Maybe the trip was great. I'm not knocking it. What I'm knocking is the hair bonnet. That's the first thing we saw. let it hang loose on the side like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. But you
It's crazy. It's crazy because I tell you, I swear for God, if I didn't think that somebody was probably going to try to swing off on me, I would really just snatch the bonnets off when I see them. I think that that is so damn ridiculous. So, I mean, the bonnets get on my nerves, but, you know, like I know, just like you know, back in the day, what? Every single week I was up in Barbie Helen spending my money getting my hair did. If I couldn't get my hair did at the salon, I did my hair at home. I'm not leaving out the house looking all kinds of crazy. A woman's hair is her crown and glory. Rev, you want to go natural wear, weave, whatever.
This is the difference between then and now, and I have to say that. We wasn't really wearing bonnets out like that. We wasn't wearing scarves, whatever your hair looked like, unless you had a jerry curl or something that was wet. You didn't have a bag on your head. I didn't see a lot of women with scars when I was younger. I did not. I didn't see no bonnets, none of that. And I'm sure they were always there. Like, you just didn't know whatever your hair looked like. It's whatever your hair looked like. But now, it's just like, hey.
Yeah. I mean, because we dress. We dress. There was none of that coming outside in your night. Girl, please, I wish I would have tried to walk out the house in my night clothes. I would have been slapped from here to New Mexico and then snatched back. Okay.
They got Steven. It's just crazy. But
I tell you,
between men and women from then to now, I think that the baby dad count is hide in the mud. It wasn't all the baby dads. I mean, he just wasn't publicized. They're dropping kids like they dropped acorns often. And it ain't like this.
You ain't never
like
lied.
The one woman is having all the children. It's multiple women having all the children.
And ain't with none of the dads. It's crazy. Like promiscuity is crazy right now. It's absolutely crazy. Now but you know, fucking been around since fucking was fucking. There's no dispute in that. But, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like now, and that's where, like, a lot of people be talking about, like, the double standard, you know, as far as guys and girls. And, like, now, you know,
that's
of course, now, before, it's okay for dudes to run around and doinking and, you know, hole hopping, hole hopping. It's okay for them to go around and hole hopping. They the man. But let a chick take on the mentality of these men most of the time. Oh, she's a hoe. She's a smut. She's this. She's that. Whatever.
Can I say something? At this point, I don't know if he's on the line. I would like to hear this. Bam.
After I finished, I was ready to say I'm going to go check on Brown because he probably in that bus too.
That specific point. That specific double standard point. That one right there because I feel like you do, T. I really do. Like, it's crazy to me that guys can brag about all the girls they live, let a chick say they did more people, and then you're whores and sluts. Like, I don't really get that. I think, to me personally, first of all, guys will always be the braggers. Women, if we weren't as emotional as we were or are, we wouldn't show half the stuff we show. Like, it doesn't matter who you're in the bed with. See, I know. I'm taking a picture, and I'm not publishing it, so it's time to do it. It's no need to do that. Like, unless you play me out, I'm not going to put you on front street. Whatever's going on with us, it's what's going on with us. But I feel like it's a true double standard. Like, let us go out here and just be doing it. Oh, you got 8 kids. You got 12. What are you talking about?
But you know what? I think maybe it might be different because they're the pitchers and not the catchers. You know, maybe because they're entering and not being interred. Maybe it's different.
I guess what I'll say is that the stigma of women being the ones who care for the child is so prevalent. You know what I mean? I have to defend all the time. Like, I have 3 sons, not getting too deep, but just lightly about the double standard. I have 3 sons. 2 I raised directly by hand, and 1 I co-parented with. Oh, my God, to hear, oh, my God, I mean, you have, I have 3. Oh, God, really? a huge deal. Why is it? There's two parents to each child. That whole statement and that whole thing right there is the stigma of how the difference between men and women. Just, gosh, who don't, like, how many kids does George Furman have? I don't know his kid's name, George. Like, nobody can tell him and all big moms he got, but let it be us. Like, stuff like that is totally amazing to me. It's flabbergasting. It does.
Yeah. Well, let's check in. Excuse me. I'm sorry, guys. I'm stuck in my throat. Let's check in and see what Brown has to say. You on the line, Brown?
I am so here, man.
Oh, boy.
What you hear?
You know what? I'm not even.
Nigga, is you
I'm going to save that last part about that, you know, the double standard issue you were speaking of. I'm going to straight up save that for last because.
Oh, man. Yeah.
In order, I don't know. All right, let's dive into the whole what y'all was talking about earlier. The whole
the tight jeans and the bonnets and stuff.
I'm 1,000% with y'all on that. We don't even need if you don't understand that, then you know what? I don't think I can help you at this point. If you're an adult, brother, if you're wearing them jeans, your joints tighter than your woman's. I can't help you. I don't know. It has to be something with your upbringing, which I'm gonna tell you. A lot of stuff has to do with the way you were raised. You know, everybody was raised different. Everybody was raised different.
I didn't raise him to be wearing high waters and moccasins. He's just light skinned.
All right, but I'm just saying, I'm not even going to touch that. To each their own. You know, you got dudes with dudes, and I'll never understand. So it's just not for me to understand. I guess people say, well, not that there's anything wrong with that. Well, you know, I don't know. Adam and Steve, I'm just not with it. You're never going to get me to say that, well, that's okay. Well, it's not to me, you know, but
well,
when you live where you live.
That politically correct. Mm-hmm.
Right. Whatever. All right. There's no. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. But really what I'm getting on is the whole like we keep going back to this. This total package, the right man, the right woman, so to speak, because I believe this thing works. It works both ways. And what I don't think y'all are touching on is the proper verbiage, like balance. It's all about. But look, everybody's different, right? You have your strengths and weaknesses. I have mine. But when you pair yourself with a man who offsets your weaknesses with his strengths and vice versa. It's all about balance in a relationship, with anything in the universe. It's all about balance. You can't be all good or all bad. You know, the whole secret is to try to find balance. And until you have that in your house, people don't understand. Like, you get with this dude, and it's always great in the beginning. But like I always say, you don't know nobody until you live with him. And once you spend some time and you live with that dude, and people cutting me off. And then you see them for who they really are. It's like, it's not even just women that do this, like that you get the guy or you get the girl or whatever, and then they turn out to be a whole another person than who they sold you that dream was when you met. And you hold on to it anyway. I'm faulted for that same behavior in my youth, my early 20s, not knowing better. But I mean, You gotta know when to let go. You gotta learn, like, if this isn't gonna work, it's not even just for you, it's for that person too, because everybody deserves happiness. And if y'all not gonna rock out together, if y'all not on the same, like I use the analogy, evenly yoked, you can't have two horses pulling a carriage running different speeds. It's not gonna work. It's just not. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, whether you like it or not, that's irrelevant. That's physically not gonna work. So, I mean, you got to find somebody who balances you, like who offsets you to where it's going to work.
Let me So let me ask you this, and this is before we get into the whole double standard thing, and hopefully I won't have to tell you off on air again this week.
You won't.
So
maybe, I don't
know. What about the differences of back in the day and now? What is one of the things that was different back when we was, you know, when we were in our early 20s as opposed to now?
I'll tell you one huge difference. Huge difference. And it all starts with the corporate takeover of media and all things that have to do with communication. And my personal opinion, this is my opinion, I'm not saying I'm expressing y'all views as mine. They're pushing this gay agenda so tough to where you're being called names. If you disagree with any of it in any way, shape, or form, you're automatically labeled a homophobe or this or that. And I'm saying to myself, well, the main reason why we were put on this planet that supersedes everything is to procreate, is to make babies before you die, further your gene pool. And Adam and Eve, let me finish. How you going to come here? There's no procreation with those that way. You know what I mean? Male or female. That don't generate no babies. Last time I checked, you know, it doesn't work. So it's like if you don't agree with it and you really don't agree with it, I'm not saying they should be stoned and killed. They should be able to, y'all want to be married, y'all should be able to marry and be just as miserable as a heterosexual couple. But don't call me the heterosexual, like just like you're a homophobe. I'm a homophobe. You're a straightophobe. What's wrong with liking? What's wrong with me liking women and only women? Why I gotta be okay? I mean, if I see two guys, I'm walking down the street the other day, and up here, the gay shit is like normal. It's like, oh, my God, it's more of them than it is us. It's crazy. We're all going to die. But I'm just saying, like it, when I see that, two guys just like sucking face like that.
Okay,
in public,
stop.
And it just makes me go, ooh.
All right,
that's just my natural reaction.
Press pause. Jazz, what was you going to say? And then I have a comment.
Yeah.
Ew.
Oh. Okay. So.
Yeah.
I wasn't even expecting to go to that route. But what I was
the difference
between before and now. And the best example I have is the guy from the Brady Bunch. Nobody knew what his sexuality was. Now, it wasn't put on blast like that. The difference between then and now is sexuality or who you love or what you do. It's all in the open. Social media is awful. Before, there were people who, if that's your sexual preference, that's between you and your partner. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It's just like, you know, making the fact that you're black the forefront. You know, we all know we're all at a disadvantage of that, but to make it a forefront thing, it's just what it is. The whole difference between then and now is that people just had a coup about them, and their business was just all out in the street. When I told him that he was gay, I was totally flabbergasted. That's the difference between then and now, living out loud. Whatever your preference is what your preference is, but to live out loud with it, I'm not saying you can't hold your hand and say it in public, but just to make it your forum. Like, that's why nobody has to know you're gay. Nobody has to know that. You make it a forefront. I can't hide the fact that I'm black. I can't.
I agree.
I don't even want to get to what I believe or what they believe. Just the whole point is everybody didn't know what was going on because it wasn't all this PDA and it wasn't all this extra shit that everybody's putting in the game. That's right there. The difference between then. How people.
But I'm gonna add to that. You know, in addition, it's not just social media. Period. It's the state of the world. Period. And I mean, just like you said, and it's an excellent point. Like the dad from the Brady Bunch. Like when I found out he was gay, I was like, "What, Mike? Get out of here!" You know, so. You know, I was actually shocked, and that's because you know people back in the day, you know, they were all in the closet. They lived, you know, their gay life peacefully. You know, they lived in the closet, in the shadows, because you know, it was too passe. It was too risque. That behavior was not accepted. People was not having it. But, you know, and then you, all it takes is just a few of those rebels that's like, you know, okay, I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to be ashamed, you know, this, that, and the other. So, you know, it's like, okay, that's when you started seeing it, you know, more increasingly out in the open, especially, you know, like you were saying, you know, with the father, you know, with the Brady Bunch. I think that that was like a big groundbreaking thing. You know, anybody, unless you were absolutely blind, everybody knew that Elton John's been gay for, you know, forever. So, you know, I think like Elton John, the dad from the Brady Bunch, you know, Little Richard, you know, like people like that or whatever.
Let's go.
Being...
It's the people that see that
and it's like, well, I want to live that way too, and you know, this, that, and the other, and then that's when they start coming out. And then of course, if you get enough people that feel that way and are rallying around that cause and whatnot like that, then of course that's when you get, you know, into the whole thing of, you know, trying to get, you know, gay marriage legalized and stuff like that. I mean, like you said, Jazz, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, which we share a lot of the same beliefs. But, you know, at the end of the day, these people, you know, whatever decisions that they choose to, you know, to make as far as their sexuality, they're the ones that have to answer to that, so I can't judge them. You know, do you, and that's what you do. But I mean, it definitely is like now is, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And it's like I said, I don't judge anybody for what they want to do. It's not up to me to judge. Mm-hmm. You know, live your life the way you want to live your life. But, you know, like one of the things I notice now, not even really, I mean, yes, it is out in the open, but one of the things that I notice now, back in the day, you know, even when, you know, just people just started being openly gay, you know, you say to somebody, I'm not gay, I'm straight. You know, it's like, okay, and it's over. You know, that ended. But it's like, you know, now it's kind of like people have the mentality of, well, I could change it. You know, I think it's more prevalent with women as opposed to men, though. You know, I definitely think that is a woman aspect of it. So, I wasn't expecting you to go that route, Brown. But I want to leave that topic alone.
But I want to know.
I never really got the finish.
To know what you think about the double standard. That's what I wanted to know, Brown. What about the double standard?
Oh yeah, we're going to get into that. Definitely get into that. But real quick though, in that last joint. The issue I really have isn't so much as people and their sexuality. It's just how they're pushing it to children. I don't like it. All of that Degrassi and their kids, and you're pumping that into them. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. I'm going to digress on that. Double standard. Here we go. First off, what I don't understand with people is like, why is it that people don't understand that men and women are not created equal? We are not, and this is by our creator. This isn't a choice. There's no, I didn't choose to be born a man. You didn't choose to be born a woman. But there's simple facts. Like, for example, I can impregnate 10 women at the same time. You can only be impregnated by one man. That's a creator thing. That's not a choice. That's not us walking around like we're better or nothing. The mechanics are different. And and the mother has always been and always will be the nurturer, the mother of everything, of the babies, the household. Y'all really run that joint. Like, and I don't know if y'all study any of the ancient African history whatsoever, but before we were brought here and we were taught all these European ways, the mom, the mother, the matriarch is what ran the household and society. And everything went through the mother, you know, and we lost that coming over here. A lot of us, the Caribbean brothers and some of the African brothers now that's ran by Europeans in their country or whatever. We're Africans with a European mindset. So says Dr. John Henry Clark. And until we get that back, we're all going to be confused because So, because we're running around here. Go ahead.
Why is it cool for guys?
It's not cool. First off,
but wait, it is, because in the media.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not cool for me to just have 12 random kids by 12 random women.
You don't have to
and
none of it. I'm just saying partners. I'm not even talking kids. I'm talking about, why is it more socially acceptable for men to have a million women, but let a woman have more than five guys? Oh, you're a whore, slut, trick, bitch, whore. Like, that's
the aspect.
You really don't get it. Like, you're a woman. You really think it's okay for you to have five and six male partners jugging you like that? You really think there's no difference between, you know, the how it works, the mechanics? You know what I'm saying? You don't really see a difference at all. I mean, I'm not even talking about it being cool. It's not even about being cool. It's just not the same thing. It's not.
Well, how many people? So it's okay. I don't care about the mechanics. Because I feel like, you know, whoever your sexual partners are going to be with is who it's going to be with.
So when you're pregnant, who's the father?
It's acceptable for a guy to be with a million chicks, but let a chick be with all guys that she's a whore. I need to know. You guys can have random one-night stands and brag about it, and it's all good. But let you find out that the woman did the same thing you did, it's a lot of stuff.
I don't agree with the bragging. I don't agree with the bragging part.
Take the bragging out. You still talk about it, and it's still socially acceptable for a man to have a million women and never a woman having a million men. Why?
Because it's not the same
thing.
So let me ask this. Okay. So you asked her. You know, regardless of whether it's okay or not. So you're basically, you asked her, did she think it was okay for her to have five dudes jigging her? Do you think it's cool to be sticking five girls?
I'm saying it's different.
That is not what I asked you, Brown. Is it okay for you to be sticking five girls?
And it all depends. It depends.
No.
It does.
I'm going to ask you yes or no question. Is it okay for you to be sticking five girls?
And it depends. Random, like
you,
like no.
I'm cutting you off. I'm cutting you off
well,
right
I'm gonna
now.
Well, I'm gonna have to say yes or no. Yeah, it depends.
No,
it could
not
be.
It depends because it doesn't depend for the girl. It doesn't depend on the woman. It doesn't depend
on Of course, Jazz, you know I was quiet because I was waiting for the build-up.
Yeah.
I was so waiting for the build-up. So now I'm about to get in that ass. Okay. So that was a simple yes or no question. There is no it depends. There's none of that. The only difference between men and women, as far as being created equal, yes, is the mechanics. Men and women, yes, were designed to have different purposes in the family structure. And, you know, as far as the household or, you know, whatever. Of course, we can bear children, y'all can. Okay, we know all of that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you got a dick or if you have a coochie, you're still a human. So the same rules damn apply. If a chick is, if not saying this that you do, but if Jazz got five, if she's sleeping with five niggas, that's no different than you sleeping with five chicks. So y'all both hoes. So there is no difference.
We can just agree to disagree on that.
You should not disagree because at the end of the day, the man and the woman are sleeping together. So it takes just like they say, it takes two to tango. So it don't matter that you the man and because you the man, it should be it's okay because it's just expected for you to be fucking different women. No, it does not matter.
Here's where it matters and why I say it depends. First off, two people are in a quote unquote committed relationship, That's a whole nother thing. Absolutely
not. We're
not
talking about committed relationships.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about
yeah. I don't think that's how it should work. It's different. Yeah. It is different.
How's it different?
And because it just is. It's different.
How?
Because,
that's not good enough.
Okay.
That's not good
you're
enough.
You're pregnant. Which one of your dudes is the father? Who is it? Who's the dad?
Bro.
You're adding technicality.
And exactly. That's why I say it's
why
a thing.
Why are babies a there's
too many, because of the
sex.
Difference, there's, well, that's whatever. In this, and I'll say this. In this country, as far as random sex goes, you're single. Do what you want. Whatever. You know what I mean? But
okay, but even
the mechanics being different, it's just different. It's not the same.
Okay, but I'm just saying though. You just said that you're single, you're not in a committed relationship with a person, and you just got random sexual partners. What we're talking about, and that's why we kept cutting you off, what we're talking about is, okay, there's no kids. There's no household as far as roles,
yeah.
None of that. We're removing all technicalities. Mm-hmm. The only thing that is left inside of the little box, the box that we're discussing right now, the only thing
it's
in the box is a dick is a dick and a coochie. That's it.
It's called
well,
a
then,
that's,
well,
all,
if that's
all that's in the box. So,
well,
what
if that's
I want to know
then,
is...
How you doing, sir?
What I want to know is... And
no,
like I said, removing all the other technicalities, why is it that a man can sleep with five different chicks and, oh, it's cool, he's the man, yeah, you getting yours, da-da-da-da-da, but let a chick be sleeping with five different niggas, she's a hoe, she's a smut, she's this, she's that, people are kicking her back in. It should not be that.
Yeah.
If you and then I mean, it's like at the end of the day, you know, me personally, I'm not gonna be fucking five different niggas. That's not me. But if a person chooses to do that, it's their business. But why is it okay
to
call her?
Names,
but it's okay for the dude to fuck different
because
people?
Because you know why? You know why you're not gonna agree with it? But this is why. The reason is because. From ancient times, dude, it's been that way. Asking a question. I'll wait till you finish. Dude, you can't just change it overnight. Like, it's been that way forever and ever. I don't necessarily agree with it. You're asking me why. And what I'm saying why is because that's how it was. How many King Solomon had? How many wives? 500 or more or so. I mean, it's been this way forever, and
you know
now
why?
That we have this society here, because it was a male chauvinistic dominated society. That's why.
And it still
but,
is.
And not of course more
Hello.
So here, more
yeah,
so here
yeah,
now then. At least back then, the reason was that you know men had to control everything and women didn't. And you had to be under control of some man back then. Now it's just women. Oh, we're free. We're equal, which is never going to happen. But we're equal, so you can whatever. They're not. They're not going to let it ever be equal. They're not. They're not. They're never going to be fair with you because the same powers are the same people that's in control. The same people that brought the slavery here. It's never going to be fair. It's not. It's not. I mean, fighting. I'm all for it. I'm all for the equality thing. But I don't think the powers that be are ever going to make it fair
not.
Or let it be fair.
You
know what?
Wow.
It's,
really?
It's just, well, first and foremost, as far as us never being equal, I do agree with that, but not the way that you think. Because what is different from back then and now, which I absolutely love, is us women run shit. We're never going to be equal because even though y'all are supposed to be the superior, more intelligent sex,
that's not true. There is no more
falser
statement than
women
that.
Have always been the smartest ones. That's for sure.
Exactly.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree.
Yeah, women are
totally agree.
For sure.
Women are not
it definitely takes girls way quicker to learn stuff than it does boys. Way quicker.
Yeah.
They catch real quicker. They learn quicker. Yeah, I agree with you, Brown, with that.
Yeah,
not
I,
to
I
mention
agree,
the fact.
I agree with all of that, too. But men still
go
pretty
ahead,
much run everything.
No, they
whatever. You know
all
what? If you was right in front of me, I would slap you.
Why?
I'm
agreeing with you. You're going to stop
me
for agreeing
with
you.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you said men. Because, I mean, it's like, because, I mean, let's just face it. I mean, us women, like even though she's overrated, us girls run the world. That's why we're never going to be created equal. But as far as that double standard bullshit, nah, I don't feel that. And, you know, and that shit right there needs to be stopped. Because it's kind of like almost a form of shaming. You know, it's kind of a form of women shaming. Because, you know, and see, the only reason why it's that double standard, I'm going to tell you why it's a double standard. That's because in addition to it being a sexist, chauvinistic society that we live in, the thing about it is a lot of people forget about, you know, like you were saying, okay, since back in the day, the women's role was supposed to be this. The woman's role is supposed to be that. A lot of dudes, even though niggas ain't acting like Ward Cleaver, they got that Ward Cleaver mentality. We supposed to, you know, be mindful and submissive to our men and take care of our home and let them run things and this, that, and the other and, you know, just play our part. And, you know, we supposed to let him run shit. But guess what? We did that long enough. And guess what? The man fucked it up. So we had to step in.
I got to interject, and I'm going to throw a Virgil aspect in this because you and I tomorrow will have a different point of view. I'm going to just switch up that piece real quick. I've never had a problem with the man being the head of the household. Like, that's just the way that the dynamics are. I know for a fact that on a physical note, there are some really strong women, but on a ratio, that built men and women physically different. For sure. I feel like, you know, no one likes this phrase, you have a place, but everyone has a place and everyone has a role that they play in it. As a man and wife, if you put it in that context, definitely the man is the head of the household. That's just how God planned it. That's just what that was. However, even though he's the head, we're the brains behind it. You know what I mean? It kills me to hear that, you know, just because you're a guy, this, that, and the third. There are certain things that, you know, depending on the spiritual level, whatever level you're on, that just, to me personally, are so. It doesn't mean because my man is the head of the household or my husband is the head of the household that he's smarter than me. We're supposed to compliment each other. That's really how God made us to be. Not, you know, equal, but just, you know, not high or low, but just compliment to walk beside you, not behind you or in front of you. I need to be walking beside you. My whole point with all of that whole thing, it kills me because so long, just this particular double standard ticks me off. My particular double standard is just the whole sexual double standard of it's okay for a guy to stick five but not a girl to have five. This is a true story. This is a true story, and I'll definitely be vulnerable in this moment. My last son's father, my mama said, never ask a question that you really don't want to answer. So he got to asking the question, hey, how many people have you slept with? So I said, how many people have you slept with? So he said his number. I said, I get it now. Okay, I see. Right on. So he looked at me, how many people have you slept with? Now, what I do know, I'm not a whore. But I have my own numbers, my own personal numbers. At 40, I have my own personal numbers. This was in my 30s. My son is 40. Yes, I had my son when I was 30. The number that I gave him, even though it wasn't a large number, I'm nowhere past 24. I'm great with that. However, the number I had was higher than his number. And, oh, my God, when I tell you it changed, like, his thought process, I felt some kind of way. Like, okay, I'm really proud of you that you've only had this amount of people. Great. You don't even have a lot of friends. I'm mad. I'm in one way, that's for sure. But I had my own, and it just seemed like it's this. if guys come into it, like, you know, a guy got a jacket. Excuse me, I'm not even going to use the B word. Women know what they're getting into with a guy when they're getting into it. So you come in and you mad because you know how many jackets he got, if it's high or low, whatever your magic number is.
Mm-hmm.
The guy gets quicker, like angrier quicker than a woman does, and I don't understand that. I really don't. I can. It's no guy will ever be able to understand it. What I will say, Brown, is that even though I didn't agree with your answer, I respect it. Because that is really the true answer that all guys can give. Because you motherfuckers don't know what the real life is for this. So you got to revert back to this is how it was. I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's wrong. The way they look at us is so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I know a guy, I personally know a guy that has 24 kids. 24.
Wow.
You don't want to date a bitch with more than 3 kids. Woo! You? Are you?
Yeah, let somebody say that to them. At least I take care of them. Nigga, you got 24, though.
I don't care. You got 24 kids, my dude. 24 like crap.
That's
the difference that I don't get. That specific double standard. I'm not going to try to get a job. I'm not asking. When I worked with another small portion, and then I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you tomorrow. Working for Rent-A-Center, what I appreciate about Rent-A-Center is that if you're male or female, they expect you to do the same work. You still equal rights, equal pay, big lip account. Get your profit.
Yeah.
Don't worry about fixing the showroom. Bring this house up to guy in. Bring this second guy in. That's the only company that I have ever worked at that has had equal. Period, point blank. Now, whoever the people in the store, how they feel, great, you can get that. I know that we are not all built equally. We're not.
Right.
We're never built equal.
It was wrong
there. However,
yeah, in that sense.
I was never built to be below a man, and I was never built to be anything except his compliment. I don't get why a woman can't sleep with 12 dudes if a nigga slept with 12 bitches. They be having contact. Am I wrong, Brown? How many numbers can you get? Oh, my God. Let us put those numbers. What?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh,
I agree with that. But back in track to that comment you made about the whole head of household, man being the head of household. That goes back to those same days. Why couldn't a woman be the head of household? Because prior
he is actually behind the door. He caused the shot.
All right. Well, I mean, in African society, she ruled it out front. You know what I'm saying? And if anything, if you ever go to Egypt was actually called ancient Kemet, and you'll see on the walls where the pharaoh, the man is exalting a woman, holding her above his head, like she walked in front at one point. Like this is, you got to understand that all of this thinking is European in nature. It's not ours. This was like we were forced into this way, the way we look at it. I'm just letting y'all know the history of it. This isn't the way we did. This wasn't just like me growing up. Yeah, my father was the head of household, but Mom ran the show when he let her.
Absolutely.
And my point is, like, if you're my wife and you're better at this than me, you're a better mathematician than I am, you're better at getting the bills together, there's nothing wrong with me signing my check saying, here you go, babe, go ahead and handle your business. If I know that I'm weaker in that than you, as the man, the so-called head of household, you should be man enough to recognize your wife's strengths and let her do what she's good at, and you fall back on that, and then it goes back to the strengths and the weaknesses and the balance. And you let the woman do what she do. Because not all women are great at balancing checkbooks, and neither are all men. Some of us are, like, I got friends that are stupid, and they know they're stupid.
Right,
so they let their wife do that.
I'm going to add to that as far as, because I had a thought when she said the head of household thing. Like, well, first and foremost, before I go into what else I wanted to say, the term head of household was created as far as, you know, for for tax purposes. That's where the originator of that term really, you know, that's really what that is as far as that's a money term. I mean, and then, okay, so you say, you know, as far as like head of household, as far as back in the day, and as far as, you know, the difference of then and now. So, okay, the head of household is supposed to be the man. The man is supposed to be the head of household, not just because of the money aspect, but, you know, because, like, that is, he's supposed to be the leader of the family structure. Like, okay, like you said, it's the balance, you know, the woman may be more, you know, better at this than he is, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, however, like Jazz was saying, like, women now are the heads of the household. And then, again, that's another double standard thing. Just because you're a man living inside of the house with a woman and maybe your kids or whatever, it still don't make you head of household. Just like mm-hmm. men had a role as head of household back in the day, if that's the case, then it should still mm-hmm. be the case now. But men don't fulfill that head of household role. Therefore, we have to step in. Not just as far as taking care of stuff, you know, that we may be better at than him. It could be a whole man sitting in the house and he ain't doing shit. You ain't had enough.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, I
have that
I'm
guy as your man. Yeah, and then there's the whole all men are not created equal because they're not. I'm sorry, like it's levels to this shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And
all men are not created equal. Because in my house, I don't. No offense. I mean, I'm a capable male. I'm an alpha male. I'm capable of handling my household, and I was born that way. I've been that way since I was little. So I mean, for me, I am that quintessential male. I'll get things done. You won't have to wash your car. You don't have to change the oil. You don't have to take out the trash. But it was my mother who instilled into me these values. My dad too, but more so, you know, you're raised by your mom. You know, my dad mm-hmm. was a go ahead, get the bacon and bring it home type dude. You know, he let mm-hmm. mom be mom. Let her be her mom role. Not that mm-hmm. he, you know, she was incapable of anything else. My mom was real capable. She was a G. You know, she was from the mm-hmm. South. So she cooked clean and went to work and did this and did that and never once bitched and complained about it. She just handled her business. She played her part. And there was times where she did dad's role. And my dad would wash dishes and cook, too. I'm a chef mm-hmm. by trade. You know, I don't mm-hmm. believe a woman ain't got to cook for me. She ain't got to wash my clothes. She ain't got to do none of that. I'm capable of doing it all. But
how about women? And I would like to say that I'm probably one of them. My manager is one of them. I know quite a few women like this. We are so used to being the head of the household that we don't know any other way.
Press pause on that. What we're going to do is, because Jazz, that's an excellent point, and we could probably sit up here and talk about that for another hour, but we are almost out of time. So that is going to be Jazz. That is the topic for next. That's going to be our topic for next week, right there. You did that. That's going to be our topic for next week. So Brown, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna thank you again for joining in. If you want to join us next week, you're more than welcome. I appreciate having you.
I greatly appreciate that. Thank you, ladies, and y'all have
a
great evening.
You too. Okay. So yes, that is going to be our topic for next week, and that's going to be very interesting because I got a lot of shit to say about that.
It's so crazy for like a guy to come into your life. And you don't even know how to be the feminine because you've been the masculine for so long. Like, what's that? Lean on who? I'm not asking you for nothing. Like, where mm-hmm. do you go from there? So, for sure, T, great session, boo!
Yes. So, girl, this was, of course, another wonderific show. But, yes, that is going to be our topic. Again, now, what we're going to discuss is, you know, what we're going to talk about. Well, of course, they're going to come into play in the conversation. But we're going to talk about us women and, you know, how, you know, because I know me personally, like as far as talking about the whole head of household thing, If I have a man and I'm comfortable with him taking, you know, letting, just like falling back and letting him take the reins, absolutely, I'm all for it. I have no problem submitting to a man to an extent. The total submission thing I can't do.
I can't wait for next week because how do you – okay, so someone like me who's been raised in a religion that I've been raised in, just raised how I was, someone who wants to have a mate, who wants to be able to depend on her partner, per se. It doesn't have to be her mate, just whomever her partner is. How do you do that when you have been doing it so long? Like, for yourself, like, how do you just be able to turn over the reins? Is it easy? Is it worth it? Like, do you, could you ever fully trust your partner to take care of you since you've been the one taking care of you for so long? I'm interested to know how next week's convo is going to go, but can you do me one last favor? What is next week's book topic, ladies?
Yes, girl, that is going to be.
What's the next book next week, boo?
I'm gonna put it on that. I know.
I'm going to see you when the week is out. What's the next book, Mom?
Oh, you think, girl, you know what? All I can say is I'm getting as much work done before Friday because I know Friday and Saturday is like, I'm just hoping by the time Sunday comes that I still have liver function.
I did last weekend, so I think I'm gonna chill this weekend. I had no liver function last weekend. Oh my god, I don't want another weekend like that ever in my life.
See, I've been being easy and preserving my liver function because I knew this weekend was coming for some time now.
Liver function.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to hit my guys to see up for some of that detox tea.
I'm so crazy.
Yes.
I stayed on the radio with you for like an hour, the whole hour and a half.
Yes, you did. Well, see, normally the show is, you know, it's 2 hours, 7:30 to 9:30. But, you know, of course, you know, with my workload and then also, too, you know, I'll be trying to hold you hostage on the phone as long as possible. And I know if anything past an hour and a half is a no-go for you.
Looking forward to next week's show.
Yes. And you know what? All I know is if Brown is going to participate in the conversation, I don't want to hear none of that. It depends shit. Yes or no shit. Ain't none of that.
Yo.
Ain't none of that. Cut and dry. No gray areas.
You're going to have to segment of replay of the night with bullshit. Like, you mean to tell me that all this time you've been asking all them questions that as smart as you are, the only answer you can come up with is that's how it started. Fuck all that. I don't want to hear that. Fuck how it started. I need to know why it started
you
out that we were not equal, but we're here and Barack is president. Why? They don't want to change it. See, that's why. That's why it's not changing. They want to see it. But go ahead. What are you going to say, sis?
I think I'm gonna have to come up with some type of questionnaire or something because I want to give Brown a test. I think that he might be a little like just borderline male chauvinist. Just a little bit. So we're gonna do Q&A with Brown next week if he calls in.
Oh, okay.
But
you have like Brown Q&A with Brown. Make that a second.
Yeah. Q&A with Brown. That's what we're going to do.
Call in and ask Brown your most narcissistic questions. What I will say about him is that he's a mess.
He
says he lives it, and I think that probably is the most open that you could be. He is unapologetically, brutally honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to pussyfoot around. He's like, nah, listen, bitch. This just the way it is.
Yeah, girl, I can't.
You know he said he's probably dying.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's a mess. But, girl, thank you. It was a pleasure as always. Wonderful show. And I will
take that intro to Chun Li. Chun Li.
Yes.
change your intro to Chung Lee next week.
Yes, that's next week. That's what I'm talking about, girl. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Jazz, love you, girl. I will be talking to you. And, again, this was Books, Brains, and Bullshit with Tamira, and we'll see you next week.
Good night. 1990, motherfucker.